This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Haley Zaga? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the disappearance, then offer my analysis. In 2001, 6-year-old Haley Zaga lived with her mother, Kelly, and her father, Steve, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. She was in kindergarten. On Sunday, April 29, 2001, Haley's 62-year-old grandfather, Jay Hale, and 57-year-old grandmother Joyce Hale drove to Fayetteville, Arkansas, to pick up Haley for a day trip. They then drove about 60 miles to a cabin on Cave Mountain in Newton County, Arkansas. This is in the Ozark Mountains. They met up with three friends at the cabin. One of the friends was named Clay. The plan for the day was pretty straightforward. The group was going to hike to the bluffs above the Buffalo River and visit two places, a well-known landmark called Hawksbill Crag and a waterfall. After this, they were going to return to the cabin. After eating lunch, the group was going to drive down the mountain and take a guided hike at 1 p.m. At 10:30 a.m., the group started on their first hike. They made it to Hawksbill Crag, then to the waterfall, but the trip had taken them longer than they expected. They were in danger of not making it back to the cabin in time to eat lunch. The group started hiking back up to the cabin, but Haley was not happy with this decision. She wanted to climb down a tree next to the waterfall, but she wasn't allowed to do this because it was not safe. In addition, Haley was tired and hungry. In protest, Haley sat down on a rock at the top of the waterfall and refused to move. She told the group that she wanted to be carried. This behavior was not unusual for a 6-year-old. Haley's grandmother, Joyce, told the other members of the group that they could go back to the cabin and make lunch. She would deal with Haley's temper tantrum and get the situation sorted out. Clay decided to stay behind as well. So at this point, there were three people at the waterfall: Haley, Joyce, and Clay. Joyce tried to convince Haley to come back to the cabin, but Haley was not in any mood to cooperate. Frustrated, Joyce employed a more assertive and crafty strategy. She told Haley to remain sitting there, and she would go tell her mother. At this point, Joyce and Clay walked away. They did not have any intent of leaving Haley alone in the wilderness. Their plan was to wait a few moments for Haley to become frightened and run after them. They were simply trying to manipulate her into cooperating. The strategy was successful. Haley wasn't happy about it, but she did climb off the rock and started walking up the trail toward Joyce and Clay. However, she did not catch up with them. They continued hiking up the trail and lost sight of Haley. They stopped and waited for a moment until they saw Haley walking toward them. Joyce and Clay then continued up the trail. They went around a bend and lost sight of Haley again. They waited a few moments, believing that Haley would come back into view, just like she did before, but this time, Haley did not. Joyce told Clay to continue up the trail to the cabin. She would go back and motivate Haley to make the journey. When Joyce went back down the trail toward the waterfall, she was unable to find Haley. Joyce was not sure exactly where she last saw Haley. She became confused regarding the geography of the trail. She encountered two hikers who were coming down from the trailhead and asked them if they had seen Haley, but they had not. Joyce contacted other members of the group who looked for Haley without success. She eventually returned to the cabin and called 911. Emergency responders poured into the area, and a massive search effort was initiated. The authorities developed a few theories about where Haley could be located. They were confident that she was in one of three locations: on the bluffs, above the bluffs, or at the bottom of the bluffs. If she was in the last location, 200 feet down, they thought that she was certainly dead, like she had fallen down. It never occurred to the authorities that Haley could have managed to climb down the bluffs without dying. For this reason, the search effort excluded that area. If their theory was correct, it didn't make sense to search at the bottom, because if she was there, she was no longer alive. Police dogs were brought in to track Haley's scent. They alerted to a winding path on the edge of Cave Mountain Road, but then lost the scent. The police thought that maybe a perpetrator had taken her in a motor vehicle. As the police were considering the launch of a criminal investigation, some of the volunteers decided to search based on criteria of their own, not based on the criteria provided by officials. Two of these volunteers were Lytle James and William Valenas. They had approached the authorities with the idea that Haley might be down by the river, but the men were turned away. The authorities thought it would be a waste of time and resources to search that location. Lytle and William used mules and made their way down to the Buffalo River. They were both extremely familiar with the terrain. They spent a lot of time outdoors in that area. On May 1, 2001, at about 2 p.m., the men found Haley sitting on a rock next to the Buffalo River. This was just over 50 hours after she went missing. Haley was 2 miles north of the main search area. The men approached Haley and told her they had been looking for her. They gave her chocolate pudding and Diet Coke. The men transported Haley on a mule for 3 hours along the river and met with authorities. She was reunited with her family at about 5:15 p.m. and transported to a hospital. Haley was treated for dehydration and released the next morning. Haley Zega continued with her life and eventually graduated with a bachelor's degree. She has expressed her gratitude to all those who worked to find her. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Nobody knows for certain exactly how Haley became lost. Like, how did she get away from Joyce? But there are different theories. The leading theory goes something like this. When Haley lost sight of Joyce and Clay, she took a trail that ran parallel to the one that they were on. So when Joyce was looking for Haley, she walked right past her without knowing it. They were close together physically, but the thick foliage obscured their views. Haley's best tactic, considering people were going to be looking for her, was to remain in one place. But of course, she would not have known that at 6 years old. I imagine that survival training is not part of a standard kindergarten curriculum. It's hard to picture a kindergarten teacher saying, "Well, kids, today we will be learning about how to tie shoes, and we will talk about the letter G. After that, we're going to learn about friction-based fire starting and how to fend off a bear with a tree branch and pine cones." Haley thought that it would be a good idea to get to the river, because if she followed the river, she would come to a bridge, which of course meant that there was a road, and the road would lead to a gas station. All things considered, that was pretty impressive reasoning on Haley's part. Haley followed the trail and came to an area where the slope was not as steep and was able to make her way to the river. The first night, she slept on a rock in the middle of the river. It was extremely dangerous to get there. The next day, she kept walking down the river. On the second night, she slept in a small cave. And of course, on the third day, she was rescued. Item number two, Haley's grandmother Joyce experienced a lot of guilt over the course of many years. I don't think that anyone was really to blame over Haley getting lost. It occurred due to a confluence of unlikely circumstances. Nobody would expect a six-year-old to travel miles through the wilderness after getting lost. It's never a good idea to lose sight of a child in the wilderness, but it wasn't like her grandmother lost sight of her for an hour. It was just a few moments. Haley would later say that her grandparents wanted her to develop an appreciation for nature. Perhaps Joyce can take some comfort in the fact that Haley definitely appreciates nature now. Item number three, even though most people give Joyce a pass, they are not as generous to the authorities for searching in the wrong area. When they initiated the search for Haley, they believed their technology and tactics would lead to success. Part of their strategy was based on Haley's personality. They thought that her traits were consistent with her not wandering. Haley was described as extremely curious and as having an active imagination. Based on those traits, they should have concluded that she would have been at risk to wander. The men that saved Haley were heroes who had practical experience in the wilderness. The lesson for the authorities is that people can become experts through many different mechanisms, not just through official training and access to advanced technology. The police helicopters with infrared cameras were no match for two men riding mules. Sometimes it pays to be as stubborn as a mule. Item number 4. After Haley was rescued, she told her family about her experiences with an imaginary friend named Alicia. Haley said that when she was lost, this imaginary friend helped her navigate down the bluffs and make it to the river. Haley offered a description of Alicia. She was 4 years old, was wearing a red shirt, bell-bottom pants, and white sneakers. Her long, dark hair was in pigtails. Alicia carried a flashlight. She had conversations with Haley, and they played patty cake. Haley understood that she was alone physically and is not really sure what to make of her imaginary friend. She never had an imaginary friend before being lost and has not had one since. It is possible that Haley was hallucinating. Haley said that at one point during the adventure, she saw that the valley was full of flamingos. Either Haley was hallucinating or she had walked all the way to Florida. Some people have speculated that Alicia was very real. They have suggested that she could have been an alien, a guardian angel, or even a ghost. No one mentioned an alien lizard humanoid. They always get cut out of these stories due to alien lizard humanoid discrimination. This brings me to item number 5. One major theory about Haley's imaginary friend, Alicia, is that she was the ghost of a girl who was murdered on Cave Mountain over 20 years earlier. On April 25, 1978, a group of cult members were camping on a mountain. They murdered a 3-year-old girl named Bethany Alana Clark by shooting her 8 times with a .22 caliber firearm. They were concerned that she had the devil in her, which fit with their strange belief system. Again, they were part of a cult. There were many parallels between Haley's imaginary friend, Alicia, and the murder victim, Bethany. For example, Haley became lost on April 29 and talked to Alicia during the experience. Bethany was murdered on April 25. Alicia appeared in the same geographic region where Bethany was killed. Alicia had pigtails. Bethany often had her hair in pigtails. Alicia and Bethany both liked to play patty cake. Alicia was described as 4 years old. Bethany was almost 4 years old. Alicia guided Haley using a flashlight. Bethany's mother gave her a flashlight after a cult member took away her doll. So the flashlight was supposed to comfort her in lieu of the doll. The cult members thought the doll was evil. Alicia was wearing bell-bottom pants. Bethany was murdered in the 1970s when bell-bottom pants were in style. Bethany's middle name was Alana, but she pronounced her name with the last syllable as C, which makes her name sound pretty close to Alicia. Despite these eerie coincidences, I'm not convinced that Alicia was the ghost of Bethany. Haley was afraid, dehydrated, exhausted, lonely, and confused as she wandered through the wilderness. This could lead to hallucinations. It's also possible that Haley simply had a conversation with herself as if she was talking to someone else. Her mind could have created this as a way to compensate for her different emotions. Now moving to my final thoughts. With the story of Haley Zaga, many people are desperate to believe that she was saved by a ghost or some other non-existent entity. Magical thinking can make stories more exciting than they would initially appear, but rarely adds any actual value. In reality, Haley was saved by two men who had a lot of common sense and who were disagreeable enough to challenge the wisdom of the authorities. Ironically, not only was there no magical being, it was actually skepticism that saved Haley Zaga.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.